would love to call you back just as soon as I can.
The mailbox is full and cannot...
Oh, wow. We're back to that again. Well, at least there were, what, 3 days where there was a voicemail left? And my assumption is, well, I mean, a rational assumption would be that it's not checked. They were just deleted, and then it's just, again, not checked. So, because I have no idea what's happened with, you know, she's just a woman who committed her life to me, and I committed my life to her. You know, I mean, it's nothing in trivia. Anyway, I mentioned the Hindufa issue yesterday. And I did find a couple of groups, organizations, academia, that are actively involved in the issue. And I did send them, hopefully, inviting email today. And we'll see where that goes. You know, obviously, all the things I do, rarely do I get a response. But, you know, I'm trying. I don't get too long because I'm getting ridiculously long. But you know, real quick, I left you. I couldn't remember the gentleman's name. It's Mohammed Marandi. All I had was the Mohammed. He is a academic in Iran, in Tehran, and excellent speaker. I've listened to him for years. Very, very good, and. This was an interview with Kevork Alnasian of Syriana Analysis. So it was a really, really good interview because I saw him do an interview with someone else in reference to Iran's counterattack against Israel. And he made some claims about what happened at the time, which... people were saying, "Oh no, no, couldn't be." obviously, at the time, it was very, very new. And now that it has a little time, you know, he got in some more information. And yes, Israel lost that battle badly, really badly. It is a real, real problem. And I wonder if the best thing for them to do is just simply let's go quiet. Take it out of the news and let's go quiet, because they lost badly, and he gives you a lot more information about how badly they lost, and of course why, if the West, you know, Israel, the West together, try to go against Iran, we're going to lose. It's an excellent interview. I did just run into. A thing called The Left's Next Step in the Anti-Christian Smear Campaign. I don't remember how it just found this or whatever. And it's relatively short. It's because, it, you know, it's the part, the whole interview is behind a paywall. But the part that's available is here. Quite good. This is a Tucker Carlson interview. It was interesting because he interviews Doug Wilson, who is quite provocative. I agree with him on probably 90%. There's a few issues, even what in this interview, that I'm not on the same page with him. But he articulated a lot of the attacks against Christianity extremely well. So I recommend it. But the third one, and with the image I use, is again Tucker Carlson interviewed this gentleman, Pavel Durov, a Russian gentleman who has also spent time, or, you know, he was born in the Soviet Union, and currently lives in Dubai. And this apparently is his first interview in 7 years. He's not just with Telegram. He owns it 100%. He has become a rather wealthy fellow. Apparently, he did allude to nine digits. And gave a lot of the history of Telegram and things of that nature and objectives and whatnot. He gave an excellent interview. He is a very good speaker. It was fun, funny, and so forth. So I do recommend it. This is the full hour. One of the things Tucker Carlson said when asked, you know, what do you do about when the government does this, that, or the other and causes you problems? He says, more often than not, ignore the problems. I thought that was great. Because, anyway, we will move on. he did point out something, which, again, I very much aware of, because I believe I've stated it, maybe in one of the voicemails, I don't know. You know, Apple has their App Store. Microsoft has the same, Google has the same, and so forth. Because many years ago, you know, there were the computer stores. You go buy a program on a floppy disk, or then it came on CDs and so forth. Now we just download them. Well, why do you have to download them from this company, that company? Well, I just bought and download. You know, I'm getting it from my Apple phone. I'll get it from Apple. I'm getting it from my Windows platform. Get it from Microsoft. If I'm getting it from my Google phone, get it from Google. That's done on purpose. One, obviously, you can say, well, okay, it's convenience. Obviously, it's the marketing thing. But the other aspect, and Apple does this the most. You can still add a program to Windows and the Google platform outside of their App Store. I don't think you can with Apple. So they regulate it. If you do something that's disapproved, it won't be on their. You won't be able to get it on an Apple phone, and it's less marketable when we're talking about an Android phone or a Windows desktop, because if the App Store says no to you, it could be a problem. So I think that was well said. But the other thing is, there is this aura of, I want the app, not look at it in the browser. And a lot of times you'll see performance differences and things of that nature, and you have a better access. But there are a couple things. One is, if it's an app on your phone, then often it'll ask for permissions to do things like look at your contact list or other things. And phone home. And so it becomes data harvesting. The other thing is, you have obviously that limitation. If it's not approved by, you know, Apple, Google, or Microsoft, you can't find it or download it. Whereas if it's a web page, that restriction is basically not there. And I think this is an important consideration. I think it's a very important consideration. And, you know, one of the purposes, if you look at some of my older videos, I talk about the effort, what was called NoScript, because I do look at, when I grab information from a page, I use the development tools that are in the browser. And you can see most web pages now, it's script constantly. So when you look at a web page, probably the vast majority of the data that you're getting is not the text or whatnot, but programs that are running on that page. And, of course, reporting in all over the place. If you look at because you can look at the source of a web page from, you know, a Shofar Nexus site, no script at all. The exception on that is when I did the Rapid On site, in order to show, as the pump fills up, you know, that there was a script to update that the fuel values and whatnot. But otherwise, you know, that's a very specific purpose. But the rest of it is often data gathering, and, you know, to give you the nice features and whatnot. And because it's become such the norm, the way people developed, I would think a large percentage, if not the vast majority, of people who develop software for web pages assume that's the way you do it. So it's become part of the culture. And it's so, you know, it's spying has become part of the culture. But anyway, so I found those things interesting, and I highly recommend that video. The comparison to Telegram and Shofar Nexus. Shofar Nexus, Telegram still is centralized. They have they market the the free expression, all those kind of things, which they seem to be doing a whole bunch better, but they're still centralized. They can shut you down. With Shofar Nexus, I can't. By technology. And if somebody's hosting something with Shofar Nexus and gets shut down by a state or whatnot, that doesn't stop the next person and the next person and whatnot. And so there are a lot, so many techniques, simple techniques within Shofar Nexus to make the shutdown very hard. And this is what I'm continuing to pursue, because obviously there are a number of reasons for that. Clearly, it can be used for mischief, but at the same time, why did Telegram, he says that they're approaching 1 billion users, and apparently there's been no marketing effort. So I think it's a real possibility with Shofar Nexus. It's not the same, but the possibility is there. Anyway, my lady, my wife, I'm still trying. I love you, and I ask for you back.